Today we're going to do the last part of our series on prayer, and we're going to talk about the prayer of Jabez. And a lot of you probably, if you've been around the church for a while, you've probably read books, and there's several good books. I know Pastor Jensen Franklin has a great book about it, but for the most part, a lot of this prayer has been just butchered and used for what I think is just not God's purpose. And we're going to talk about it again, because in this prayer series we've been talking about that when you're asked to pray, or you need, you know, prayer is something that you should be doing and we all should be doing more of, but that when you're maybe asked to pray in public, you freeze up, or if you're by yourself, you know, in prayer, you kind of run out of stuff to say. You know, if you're like me, when you go to pray, everything that you ever needed to do that you couldn't remember before, now you suddenly remember it, and you just can't stay focused. And so in the previous weeks, we've given you some patterns that you can follow. You can kind of step through them to help you learn to pray, and just to kind of give you a guide. And they're from various things in the Bible. And you can go online or on our Facebook page and watch the video or listen to the podcast. But again, I want you to understand that prayer doesn't have to be a one-hour session to be valid. Now, there are people in the world who make you feel like if you don't pray for an hour in the morning that somehow you've come short. I personally believe, I think it's more powerful if you're praying, you know, 31-minute prayers during the day, because you're just having a conversation with God, than necessarily just saying, well, I'm just going to do this hour, and you sit there and hum and you know, really not really have a conversation with God. Prayer should be a good morning conversation. Prayer should be a good night God conversation. Prayer should be the middle of the day, God, I just want to check in with you. How am I doing? What can I do? And have conversation with God. It doesn't have to be this big hour-long thing. And I've told you in the previous sessions that there are different kinds of prayer, and God wants us to use them. This is our verse in Ephesians chapter 6. This is pray in the Spirit in every situation, using every kind of prayer and request that there is. I used the example last week. It's like a golfer. What if he only played the entire 18 holes and he only used his putter? What are his odds of winning? Very low, because the rules allow him to have so many clubs that do different things. And I think God's pretty much the same way. He's given us these patterns of prayer and these ways to interact with him. And he says, use everything at your disposal. Use everything that's within our relationships. And today I want to give you an actual prayer that you can pray. And it could be a 30-second prayer, or if you really break it apart, you could do 30 minutes on it. But this is an actual prayer. It's found in the book of 1 Chronicles. Now, you need to know this. If you do the one-year Bible, which is what I do, just every day I click on the one-year Bible and I read what's there. When you get to the part that is Chronicles is just that. It's a chronicle of what I call begats. And the begats are so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so. It would, one way we could put it, and I laughed, and I hope this doesn't offend you, but I just thought it was funny. I heard a friend of mine say, this is where it says, the baby daddy is, the baby daddy is, the baby daddy is, the baby daddy. That's kind of the southern version of, it's just this lineage of, and it actually goes all the way through Jesus. Well, right in the middle of this, there's 600-something names, and when that's part of your reading for the day, you know, you just kind of read it. It's really hard to understand. The names all kind of run together, and you don't really sometimes know if you're reading about something familiar until you get to maybe a couple of the names that are prominent in the Old Testament. Well, in First Chronicles, in the middle of these 600 names, it's literally listing so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and on, and right in the middle of that, it talks about it. God gives a shout out to this guy named Jabez, right in the middle of it. And it says here that in the first line, and it starts off with actually something that's not real good. He gives him a good attaboy, but then he starts off with something that probably wasn't his favorite thing about his life. And Jabez says, Jabez is more honorable than his brothers. Okay, so you got it going, you know, you got it, I'm approving of you. And then it points out that and I think this is key, his mother named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. And all the ladies says, well, duh. But it never really explains why you know, were there complications? Was it just the natural pain of childbirth? I can't imagine back in that day that it was, you know, and I don't know that it ever is a pleasant thing, but she named him pain. You know, that would be like if you have a son that's aggravating or annoying, you know, you name him, hey, aggravating, you know, or people, they just tagged him, and he lived under this name. And I dare say there's probably some of us in the room and some of us watching online that somebody has put a name tag on you, and that's what's driving your life, not the what God created you to be. God calls you son or daughter. He doesn't call you by your problems. He doesn't call you by the situation of your life. And I think Jabez figured something out, because look what he says, and this is in 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9 to 10. It says, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel. He says, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Notice he didn't say, oh, God, let me tell you how bad my life is. My life is so bad, God, that my mama named me Pain. My life is so bad that every time I go out, somebody calls me and reminds me of the pain that I caused them. You know, just put pause on there for a minute. Can you imagine if we move this up to modern day? Can you imagine Jabez having to play, like, remember the old game in elementary school when you go out to the playground? We used to play Red Rover, Red Rover. Anybody remember that? And everybody'd line up. And now they won't let you play it because you might get hurt. When I was in school, it was full-on contact sport. And all the guys would line up and hold hands, and, you know, and we'd come on. And that one big kid, we'd all stand there, like, and he would just mow everybody down. Well, can you imagine, you know, Red Rover, somebody send Jabez over? The name literally is Pain. And he was constantly called out about it, but he didn't pray that. He said, God, why don't you bless me, enlarge my territory, let your hand be with me, and keep me from harm. One version says, protect me, so that I will be free from what? From pain. And then this is the part of the verse that I love. And God did what? Granted his request. Right in the middle of all these names and all this lineage, which was crucial. The lineage is crucial to how Jesus got here. It's very much ordered of God and a plan of God. And God said thousands of years before it happened, this is how Jesus would get here. And this is who his father was going to be, and great-grandfather, and on and on and on and on. But right in the middle of that, he says, and God granted his request. God gave him what he asked for. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to pray something, and I'm going to even pull it from the Bible, then I want to pray something that the Bible says, when they prayed this, God what? God responded. Remember last week we said that prayer is not about moving God to us. Prayer is about us moving to God. We're not trying to move him. We're trying to get closer to him. It's not necessarily a good thing when he comes to where we are, because we may not be in the right place. But it's always a good thing when we go to where he is, because God's always going to be in the right place. But his name, again, literally needs pain. But again, he cried out, and this will be your first one there. He cried out about God's promise. It's okay to pray for God's blessing. Jabez said, oh, that you would bless me. But you need to know this right off the bat. And I'm going to ask you to look up and look at me. Make sure everybody's clear. If you're watching online, focus in. Because this is where people go awry. This is not a money scripture. This is not a bigger house. This is not a bigger car, a faster car. This is not a nicer rifle. This is not the stuff that we want. There's nothing wrong with any of that. This is not asking God for money. It's part of it. And I believe God wants us to be well-financed, because if we're not financed, we can't do what he asked us to do. But God is not against you having money. This is bigger than money. It's about you asking God to bless your life in completion, your health, your family, your business, to bless you with wisdom. Anybody needs some wisdom making decisions right now? The Bible says in the book of James that if you ask him for wisdom, he will dump it on you. And won't question you, or won't come against you for asking for wisdom. It's asking God to place everything that he has in my life. I don't know about you, but that would be an ultimate prayer. God, everything you have for me, if you could just bless me with it and insert it into my life, That's what I'm asking for, and that's what I believe Jabez was asking for. One of the definitions there's in that verse is the Hebrew word barak, B-A-R-A-K, and it means literally to stoop down or to bend down. That I believe when God responded to his prayer, that God literally, the Bible, stooped down from heaven to insert that into his life, that God hears you and will deposit in you. King David actually writes in Psalm 17, says, I am praying to you because I know you will answer me, O God. And he says what? Not just listen to me, but as I pray, God, I'm asking you to bend down. I'm asking you to get involved in my situation. If you remember what King David said as he prayed for God's blessing, he said, listen, I understand that where I go, you're going to go. If I go to the pits of hell, God, you're right there with me. If I go to the highest highs of heaven, you're right there with me. And David's saying, listen, I'm praying for this blessing, God, but I'm asking you to stoop down and give me everything that you have for me. God told the children of Israel in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, he said, listen, I'm going to bless you. Again, this is not a money thing. People misquote this and they take this and go running with it. And it's not a blab it and grab it, a name it and claim it. This is not a you give to God to get. This is you wanting everything that God has for you. And he tells them, listen, I'm going to bless you so that you can do what? So that you can do more. The blessings of God is not just so you can say, look what I got. Now you drive up in a brand new car, we're going to celebrate with you that God has blessed you. But at the same time, is what God's given you, he's not just given you to show it off, he's given you to do something with it, to do more, to go further, to share life and to put into other people's lives. God has more for you to do than just collect stuff. This an American mentality, and I understand we save for the future, we do here. Every week we put money back. Matter of fact, we just use the funds that you guys have been so generous in your tithe and your offering. Did you notice the parking lot this morning? How nice and pretty and redone it is. We couldn't do that if God didn't give you more and then you didn't do more with what God gave you. And give and be obedient in your tithe and give in your offering. So it's not about a getting scripture. Jabez wasn't praying, God, bless me so I can have more. Bless me so I can show my bling off to everybody else. Bless, even this, I heard somebody say this, you need, and they said, God blesses just so you can brag on him. God don't need you to brag on him. We got nothing to offer. It's all his anyway. God says, I need you to worship me. I need you to have a relationship with me. I need you to, we talked about in previous part of this series about praying his name, using the names of God. God doesn't need you to brag on him because he gave you something. He needs you to brag on him because he gave you everything. Does that make sense? Amen. There's a big difference between God giving you a car and God giving you eternity. Amen. That car is going to be fun for a while, and some of you may take that car and go too fast and get to eternity quicker. But there's a difference. There's a difference in being blessed and saying, God, I'm blessed, and now what can I do with it? That God has more for your life than just collecting stuff. The second thing that Jabez says, he began to pray, he said, God, enlarge my territory. He prayed for influence. And again, we pray for blessing, and people go awry because it starts to be about money. Now, when Jabez says, hey, I'm praying for influence, this is not just God give me more. This is not God make me powerful. This is not, you know, maybe to use political terms, well, I'm in a state office now. God enlarge my territory and now I'm going to run for, you know, Congress or the U.S. Senate or the president or whatever. That's not what he's talking about. He says, God enlarge my territory. In other words, God, if you give me more, I'll do more. God, if I have more, I can go further. But this is where we have to be careful, because when you ask God for it, it's going to stretch you. It's going to expand what you have responsibility for. In some cases, it's the weight that you carry. I was watching a video on Facebook the other day, and it was a little boy, and the mama came to the little boy, and he had chocolate all around his mouth, and she was saying to the little boy as she was filming him, we'll just pick on Josh. His name was Josh. And he said, "Josh, where did all the chocolate chip cookies go?" And he's going, "I don't know. I don't know." And then she noticed as he was walking that he was dropping cookies out his pants leg. And he had gone to the pantry and pulled his pants out and just filled his pants up with cookies. He had expanded his territory. But the problem was he didn't know what to do with it now. And you need to understand that sometimes God's going to expand your territory, and then he's going to have to give you instruction on what to do, on how to move. Jabez is praying, "God, that I want all of the life that you have for me." But here's where a lot of us fall short. The life you think God has for you, or the life you're living now, is not even complete of what God really has for you. There's more for your life than where you have now. And I was talking to somebody not too long ago, and I asked them the question, "How's life? What's going on?" And they said, "I'm good. I've got everything I need. I really don't need any more." And I understood that what they were saying. They were gracious. And I said, "But here's the thing. God's got more for you." And we don't like to think that. We want, okay, I've made it. I'm happy. Don't rock the boat. But Jabez is praying for influence because he has a purpose. And the happiest people, honestly, this is why I can say this is not a money thing. The happiest people in the world are not necessarily the people with the most money. Don't get me wrong. It helps. But you see and hear about a lot of people with more money than they can even count committing suicide and dying in misery and being depressed. The happiest people in the world are not those with money. I think the happiest people in the world are those that know their purpose. They are full of hope because the Bible tells us, and you'll see in a second, that hope and your calling go hand in hand. They're happy and they have hope for tomorrow because they're walking and they understand what their purpose in life is. And they're asking God, "God, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is my purpose. Now help me expand it. Help me do more. Help me reach more." It's why we say, if you look out on the back of the sign as you go out front or in the foyer, and if you know this, say it with me. We want you to do what first? Know God. And then the next step is what? Anybody want to try? Find freedom. And the next step is what? Discover purpose. And the last one is now, once you've discovered your purpose, now you can go do what? Now you can go make a difference. And the Bible says, and Paul actually writes in Ephesians chapter 1, he said, "I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know something." Well, what is it? Know the hope to which he is what? He has called you. He's attached your calling to hope. That you have hope because you received Jesus and you're eternally secure. You have hope because Jesus has entered your life. But Paul's very specific. Your hope is directly linked to your purpose, to which he's called you. And it's all built on the riches and the glorious inheritance of his people. That you're expanding your influence is expanding your reach. I'll just tell you this. I'll tell you, you want to know the secret sauce to your life? Anybody ever heard that phrase? You got a secret sauce that makes something so good? Well, there's a secret sauce to your life, to make your life good, to make your life full, so that you're walking in hope. And that secret sauce is when you know your purpose. It is to know that and know that God is what he's created you to do. When God gives you influence, you need to also know this, that you're going to be over your head. It's going to be deep. I had somebody say, tell me one time, "Well, God, give me some influence, but don't make me tread water yet." Well, that's putting God in a box. Because anything that God's going to ask us to do, it's all going to be based on faith and trusting him. Faith and letting him help us and come with us. Because you're going to be over your head. And because it'll always be over your head, you're always going to need number three. And that's his presence. That he better show up. Now, I'll tell you, when I begin to study this and think about this, and ask God to bless me. God bless my family. God bring health. God bring everything that you need for my life and blessing. then we begin to pray. And I pray here, God, expand our influence. Let me just say this, because I had somebody ask me, and I may have said this earlier. They weren't being ugly, but they kind of questioned, why did you guys put money into the fireworks? You know, you could have fed the hungry or clothed the poor or, you know, sent it to the kids in Honduras. And let me tell you why. It's because I think God's given us, God is beginning to expand some influence. And I don't say that, please hear my heart. I'm not saying this in an arrogant way because there are a lot of other good churches. I know and I'm acquainted with a lot of the pastors and specifically the guys at First Baptist, First Methodist, and the Pastor Jay, who's at First Christian. He's the newer pastor in town. Their hearts are for the city. And my heart is for the city. And the bigger our influence is, guess what? The more people in our city we can reach. The more seats we can have filled with people that are just needing to know Jesus. And the reason we do things like the fireworks, or we do the egg drop in the spring, in the livestock pageant, or we do Project 216, is because my vision right now is bigger than our influence. My vision is without God expanding our territory, we're just wasting our time. And when God begins to expand our blessing, that we operate here, you know, we have trustees in the church, and their job is financial oversight, and they give me a budget to work with. And anytime we make any large purchases or do anything like you saw maybe in the parking lot, for example, you know, there I have accountability in the finances. But I tell the guys all the time, hey, guys, I'd like to do a whole lot more. But God's going to, for us to do that, our vision is bigger than right now the influence and the blessing level at which God has us. And so we begin to, when I pray this, I say, God, we're doing this and I'm over my head. Now I come back to number three, where it says, pray for God's presence. God, I can't do this without you. I remember years ago standing, again, I could take you, I've shared this story before, out to the parking lot, to the exact parking space where I was standing. I said, God, I'll do this, but I can't do this without you. Because I'm not the greatest. I'm even in high school as playing baseball, I was a great utility guy. I could kind of do everything just good enough. And I jokingly, and I don't say this to demean myself, but it's just true, I'm kind of the jack of all trades but master of none. And God, I can't do this without you. I can't expand this. I can't grow it. I can't fill the seats. Because if I'm trying to fill the seats, God, they don't need to come for me. They need to come because you're here. They don't need to come hear me. If it begins to be based on me, then God, we're going down the wrong path. I need you to help me. I need you to go with me. Jabez prayed in 4:10, God, let your hand be with me. In the Old Testament, the hand stood for power and presence. You remember there's a story in the Bible where God's hand began to write on the wall. I don't know how much more powerful you could get than that, though, if we're all standing here and suddenly a big hand appears and starts carving letters into the wall behind me. That's power. But the hand of God represented his presence here, but also his power here. That God, when you bless me and you give me influence and you expand me, God, this is bigger than me and I can't do this without you. You're going to have to go with me. As a matter of fact, in the book of Acts, the Bible says that the Lord's hand was with them in Acts 11. And what happened when God's hand showed up? People's lives started changing. See, I think we put God in this box, and I go back to the fireworks for a minute, that, well, this is going to have to happen. If people's lives are going to change, they're going to have to all come to Believers Church, and then they're going to have to all run to the altar and cry and weep for God. Now, is there anything wrong with that? No. But I truly believe that we could be out sitting at the amphitheater in the center of town, fireworks going off, and God just start dropping in people's hearts. Why? Because his hand shows up. God shows up. There's power, and he goes with us. When we go, we're hanging out just thinking it's about fireworks. It's not. It's about God reaching in and doing something in his city because the presence goes with us. Moses even told God this. He said, God, listen, I ain't going unless you go with me. Exodus 33:15, Moses said to him, and that him is God. This is when Moses and God were hanging out face to face. And it says, if your presence does not go with us, what? I ain't going. Don't even send us. If you're not going to go with me, this is not something I can do on my own. I remember playing when I was in high school. Every now and then, I got to play on the offense. Most of the time, I started on defense, and that was my thing. And I can remember a couple times in games where I got put on offense, and they would run a play called, it was just a toss sweep. And the quarterback would toss the ball, and I was playing a running back, which I don't know why, because I wasn't any good at it. But when you have you have a person that goes in front of you, a lead blocker. And it was always a bad deal when the quarterback would toss you the ball and you'd look up and your lead blocker was going that way and you're going that way. And I remember going back to the guy and saying, hey, listen, bro, if you go that way, I don't care where the ball goes, I'm going with you because you're going in front of me. So I need you to go the same way I do. Well, see, God is that's what we're telling. Moses was telling God, God, listen, you're going to send me and that's going to be the play, but you got to go with me. Because this is going to be bigger than me. And I can't do this without you. Then he goes on to say, how will anyone know that you're pleased with us? And how will people know that we belong to you unless you go with us? He says, what else? And he asks this question, and it's kind of a rhetorical question. What else is going to distinguish us from everybody else? What's going to distinguish us when we sit with our city and join all the other Christians surrounded by all the rest of our friends and family and community that don't know God? What's going to mark us as Christians? Well, the New Testament, the Bible tells us that it's the fruit of our lives. It's by your fruit that people will know that you belong to something bigger than you, that you're a part of something, this God who sent his son for you. And it says all the other people on the earth, of everybody else, this is going to distinguish you. And the Lord said to Moses, again, I'm going to do what you asked me because I'm pleased with you. Because God's always, his intent is always to go with us. And when we pray, we're praying, say, God, I need your presence. I can't do this without you. I need you to go with me everywhere I go. This is a great prayer for you to pray for your teenagers, for your kids. When your teenagers leave to go get in the car, your children or grandchildren go and leave your house or leave to go to school somewhere you can't go. It's this. What better thing to pray, say, God, I can't go with them, but you can. God, I can't be there to tell them, no, don't do that, or yes, do this, or don't pull out now, or don't, you know, make this bad decision. I can't do that, but you can go with them. I think you can pray this over your kids. As a matter of fact, I'm truly convinced. I don't even know if the prayer of Jabez, it's always been in the Bible, obviously, but was a thing back when my grandfather, my dad's dad, was alive. He would constantly tell us, hey, I'm praying blessing over you. Hey, I'm praying that, he didn't use the word influence. He said, I'm praying that God use you everywhere. But I'm also praying that God go with you. Some of us need to begin to pray that over our family members, even your husbands, your wives, is that, God, I can't go with them, but you can. God, I can't see what's around the corner, but you can. And Jabez was praying, listen, God, I'm going to do this, but I need your hand with me. I need you to stay close. Your call is bigger than me, God, and I can't do it without you. I can't turn this corner and not knowing what's around the corner without the comfort of you being behind me. I actually think that the reverse is true, that you go around the corner after God has. This is a side note and a rabbit trail. If you're taking notes, write this down. You know what the Bible says in the New Testament about the Holy Spirit and your day-to-day life? The Bible says of the Holy Spirit that he goes before you, giving you favor not only with man, but with God. You're going to a job interview. My prayer has always been, God, you're there before me. Pave the way for me. If I'm supposed to have this job, God, your Holy Spirit's already been there, and even if those people don't know it, he's confirmed in their lives that I'm the guy that they're supposed to hire. God, if we're supposed to make this decision or go visit these people, whatever it is, wherever I go, God, when I get there, I'm not the first one there, I'm the second one there. Because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit goes before us, even on the earth. And I can't think of a better thing to pray over your kids. God, not only your presence stay with them, but God, you go ahead of them. Clear the way. Move things out of the way that are in their way, things that might trip them up. But you need to know this, when God blesses you, gives you more so you can do more, when he expands your influence, and widens your reach and begins to let it, we'll just use us as a church body to begin to do more, to start new ministries, to do new things. When he does that in your life, he blesses you, he gives you more influence, and then he says, okay, I'm going with you. His presence, he'll go with you. You need to understand this. And I'm not going to end on a down note, but we're going to talk about something that's serious for a second. You need to know that the devil's just not going to stand by and watch. Oh, Clint, don't talk about the devil. Let's just keep it all sunshines and rainbows and let God make us bigger and bless us and give us more influence, and then we'll just kind of bask in his presence. All that's good. But just because you ignore the devil doesn't mean he's going to go away. He's not a two-year-old. So, you know, with your kids, if you just ignore them long enough, they'll eventually get tired and go away, right? We were laughing at our girls when they were little. They would come up and, Daddy, 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 Daddy. So I just decided one day to see how long I could sit there, and I don't remember which one it was, and just let them say Daddy. Now, nobody was dying and nothing was on fire, so y'all are looking at me like, you mean person. But I remember sitting there and waiting on the girl, and they just, Daddy, 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 Daddy. Like, it was like 4 and 5 minutes. And I remember saying, if I sit here long enough, she'll stop and go away. Now, I think I underestimated my girls because however many minutes it was, I just reached that point of, what? What do you want? Or Melanie's next door with the kids, I'm going to tell on her. One of her pet peeves is our girls will run in the room, especially Mabel. Mabel's real intuitive and real perceptive. Mabel will run in the room and go, Mama, and then she'll look at Melanie and realize that she's on the phone or that she was in the middle of something and had to stop to give her attention. And Mabel will run in and go, Mama, and then realize that, and then she'll try to back out of the room. And it drives Melanie nuts. And I know that because I do it to her too, and she gets upset with me. You stop her progress. But I know that, I'm trying to make sure I just completely lost my train of thought. I know that the devil, thank you. The devil does not just back up because we ignore him. Or we just, you know, or we go, I don't acknowledge the devil, he therefore has no effect on me. You're deceiving yourself. You're just sorely misinformed. That is, you know, it's like us sitting on top of something explosive and just go, if we just deny it's there, then when it blows up, it won't hurt us. No, when it blows up, you're going to go flying. And you're going to be hurt. The Bible says of Jabez that he asked God, in 4:10, one version says, keep me from harm. One version says, protect me. And that's why I think that Jabez was, he said, I'm praying for protection. I'm praying for you to protect me, God. I love this. If you look at it, I don't know if I even put it on the sheet of, when you look at the 1 Chronicles 4:10 in the Message version, he said, yeah, I did. He says, and provide your what? God, your personal protection. So you need to know that, and we said this last week, we just don't have a God. You have a God. We have a God, our God is a corporate sense, but the Bible of God says he wants to know you personally. And I love the way they worded this in the Message. It's not even a version, it's a paraphrase. And it says, God, I need your personal protection. Don't let evil hurt me. Because the truth is, there is a devil, and he's out to get you. I heard a pastor say one time, if you're not butting heads with the devil, you might be walking with him. I pray for you, they're not walking with him. Well, if you're not walking with him, then the thing is, you need to understand, the Bible says, and where did I put it? In 1 Peter, it says, stay alert and watch out for your great enemy, who? The devil. Now, let's push pause there for a second. We blame the devil for a lot, but we're really good at getting ourselves in our own trouble. We don't need the devil's help to get ourselves in trouble. But you need to understand, the Bible says of the devil that he has one thing in mind, and that's to take you out. So when God gives you blessing and you pray God and he begins to expand you and God gives you influence and God says, I'm going with you, the devil is not just going to sit by and just go, oh, look at that. They've ignored me and they don't see me and get his feelings hurt and leave you alone. The Bible is very clear that he says, I'm going to rise up. Now, you don't need to live in fear, but you do need to fight. You don't need to live in fear of the devil, but you do need to fight. And the Bible says that we fight using the name of Jesus. The Bible says of that name that every demon in hell must bow to that name. Look what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, and we'll close here. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35, Paul's writing to the Roman church, and he says, listen, who's going to separate us from Christ? Remember, he's blessed you. Jabez, pray, bless me. God, now give me influence, expand the reach so I can I can not only have more, but when you give me more, I can do more. Now, God, I'm asking you to come with me. And Paul says, listen here. Hey, who's going to separate you from Christ? When things get hard? No. Are you going to get persecuted? Yep. Are you going to get hungry? Yep. I don't really know. Hopefully you're not too naked, but are you going to have to be exposed to people? Let's just get real for a minute. I'm not talking about really like expose, like go expose yourself. But the truth of the matter is you're going to have to open up and let people in your lives. When you pray and say, God, give me more blessing, help me have more so I can do more, expand my influence, and God, come with me and protect me, the fact of the matter is there's a little bit of risk involved. You're going to have to let people in. And you're going to have to show them that, hey, I was just like you, or I was falling apart, and look what God's done for me. Hey, I had a failed marriage and a terrible family, and look what God's done for my family. Hey, I was broken in debt. Hey, I was sick, and look what God's done for me. You're going to have to open up a little bit. And you might get persecuted for it. You might get attacked. We met this week with Joel and Heidi Haislip, and they might be watching. They're missionaries that we've supported forever and ever as a church, and they're in Burkina Faso, West Africa. They've been in the States for a few years, and they're praying about going back. But they have a team there. It's in West Africa, and the Muslims there, it's a 99.9% Muslim country. And every year, their ministry reaches somewhere between 30 and 60,000 children. But the Muslims now are coming in, and as their territory, again, the devil's not going to take it laying down. So as the Christians begin to get a foothold, now the Muslims are coming in and just randomly taking Christians out and just executing them. And I was telling Joel, we got to have lunch with them on Thursday, and I was telling him, that's just something that Americans, it doesn't even register to just be summarily executed, a whole church full of people, simply because you're Christian. But it's the Bible says that it may come to that for some people. But again, you're going to have to be open. You're going to have to let people in. But it goes on in the next verse to say, hey, God, listen, for your sake, we'll face it. Whatever comes at us, if it takes us, it takes us. But we're going to do it for you. Look at verse 37. And it says, no, not in all of this, that we are what? More than conquerors. Through him who what? Who loved us. See, God, I'm not asking you just to strengthen me, but I'm asking you, God, to protect me from the attack of the enemy. God, I'm asking you, I'll back all the way up to the beginning. And if you're wondering why, if you look on your sheet at the top of it, on the title, it's got the initials, the acronym BIPP, BIP. And I did that because that's the way I had to just ingrain it in myself to remember. So if it stands for something else I don't know about, I didn't mean it for that. But it simply stands for, God, I need your blessing. God, I need you to give me more so I can do more, not so I can collect more. God, I need your influence, B-I. I need you to expand my influence so we can take what you've given us and then go do more with it to be effective for the kingdom. God, the first P, God, I need your presence. God, you've given me blessing, you've expanded my influence, but now this is bigger than me and I need your help. I stand here and tell you that without God, I can't do this. I don't stand and pretend that, you know, that we're a church of 5,000 and there's this vast amount of pressure. I just know that what we're doing now is I'm not good enough and I need God. And if he doesn't show up for me, I'm in trouble. So it's blessing, influence, presence, and then the last P. Now, God, protect me. Because when you do give me more, when you give me influence to go farther and your presence go with me, the devil's still going to come after me. And I think that's the prayer of Jabez. Jabez didn't get a shout out because he had some magic formula to get God to give him more. He didn't get a shout out because he figured out that if I do this, God will give me. And if he gives me, I can get more money and more power. I think Jabez figured out that I am a son or a daughter of God, and that my mama may have named me Pain because of the way I entered this earth, but that's not how God defines me. God defines me as a son or a daughter, and he's blessing me. He's expanding my influence. He's with me, increasing in presence. But remember, we're not trying to move God to us. We're trying to move us to God. And I think Jabez figured that out. And I don't know, this week, Melanie and I were traveling the last Wednesday, Thursday, or Thursday, Friday. And as we were riding back up 95, I was kind of going to get in kind of a zone. And well, traffic wasn't bad. And we were coming up 95. And I just was thinking about the naming, you know, being named Pain. And I said this earlier, but I don't know who it's for. It was for me, I know, but maybe this dings a bell inside of you. You've been defined by what maybe somebody close to you has told you are over and over. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not qualified. Ladies, you're not pretty enough. Guys, you're not, you know, manly enough. Whatever it is, and I'm just here to tell you. You may have an earthly name, but you have a heavenly Father. And the Bible says of that he created you to do something specific, a purpose. God didn't just create you and then go, oh, well, now what do I do with this guy? The Bible says that there's a purpose. He said, now I'm going to make the perfect person to do that purpose. And your name and what people tell you you are is not what defines you. God's creative purpose is what defines you. And somebody needs to know that this morning. And that's going to be my prayer today. As we pray this blessing, influence, presence, and protection, that just like Jabez, we don't cry out to God about the bad hand we were dealt. We cry out to God because of the everything hand, the blessings that God has given to us and has for us so we can do more. Amen? Amen. Why don't you bow your head real quick? Father, I don't even know who that was for, and I know it was for me, but whoever that's for, Father God, whoever you're just knocking on their heart this morning, God, let them receive it. Let them see that you have laid out clearly in the Bible who we are and what we are in you. And we're not defined by our faults. Our lives are not directed, and we're not tied to our past because your word says that you've given us freedom. You've forgiven us of our sins, and Father God, you've made the way straight in front of us. Father, for those in the room who maybe haven't received Jesus and they need to know Jesus, God, I ask you this morning that they respond. God, that they hear your loving cry, your passion just to get to know him. and I thank you for it. Now, if there's anybody in the room, we'll never end the service without doing this, in the room or watching online, and say, listen, Clint, I'm out of God. I'm out of his will. I'm far from God. I've never met Jesus. Or maybe you have and you've walked away and you say, I just need to get life right again. If that's you, just wave at me real quick. If you're online, you can send a message online. All right, we're going to pray this together. Just say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, today I ask you to forgive me, to receive me as yours. I confess you now as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, God, for sending your Son just for me. In Jesus' name, amen.